Ball in Play 2, presented by DraftKings, kicks off on May 5th. Head over to the Warehouse Games channel to catch Game 1. Get some skin in the game and download the DraftKings app right now. Don't forget to use our promo code WAREHOUSE. That's promo code WAREHOUSE only at DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.
Welcome back to episode 135 of the Compound Podcast, presented by Parse Rum, my favorite rum, your favorite rum, our favorite rum, the Compound's favorite rum, Chicago's favorite rum, the world's favorite rum. What?
I think it's worldwide.
It's worldwide.
Planting a tree.
Well,
everyone likes to save the earth.
We know it's an international company based in Colombia, making great rum, planting trees. And it's about that time of year, where you go get yourself a bottle of rum. It's cold. We're all in the north right now. We're all in different places, being cold together. Everyone's cold together. And you know what? You know what the best way to warm up the insides is? Bottle of Parse rum.
That is a great way to warm up the insides, but it's not cold.
It's cold.
It is not
cold out there. I walked outside this morning in the AM, in the wee AM hours. And let me tell you, I was cold. I had gloves on.
How many different homes do you have?
I got homes.
Fly from home to home.
I got places. I'm all over. I am really all over for the next few weeks. I'm going to be recording the podcast from a different place every week for the next probably 5 weeks.
So this week you're in Chicago.
I'm in Chicago.
Yeah. Nice. Did you get your trophy?
No.
When did you get it?
The award ceremony deal is in New York on Friday. I don't know if they're going to hand it to me then and I get to see it, but maybe.
Did you watch the show when they announced it on TV?
Yeah, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I was watching it and it was funny. Like when they had Pena won and Realmuto won and I think Kyle Tucker won one. It's like, all right, you can take the trophy. And they're like, okay. What do you want me to do with it?
Yeah,
like, I gotta go hit BP. Like I got a game in an hour.
Gotta go play a game in a few hours. Yeah. That was really cool. Really cool to watch, see that. Well, we get a little highlight reel, a little fluff. It's nice. It's cool.
Did you remember all of the plays on the highlight reel? Or were you like sometimes damn, that was pure?
No, I remembered. I mean, yeah, you know, like the baseball play memory, like you remember who hit the ball, where it was, what you were thinking.
Oh, yeah. Isn't it sickening how athletes have, like, some don't remember shit, and then others, like, you could bring out, like, a play or a count to me, and chances are I'm going to remember what it is. But then I can't remember to turn a light off or something.
No, it's just that baseball brain where you have all of those plays in the reel.
Yeah.
Zach is also just kind of dumb sometimes. Oh, like in normal world things.
Come on, hey. Man.
Well, I mean that with all due respect. And I said with all due respect.
You know why? Because fucking assholes like you just keep throwing at me.
That's not very nice. It's not very nice. I hit you in the arm and in the shoulders. That hurt your brain.
Hey, you know,
tough
times up and in. I'm on the ground, have to go on the IL for a concussion.
The second one wasn't up and in, it was nip or belly button height. Get out of the way.
I wake up sometimes in cold sweats. Because my elbow hurts from you.
But actually, Ian, congrats.
That was really cool.
That was sick. I watched the entire show. I don't think I've ever watched the show before in my life, but I was like, I'm going to watch for Ian, and it was awesome.
Thank you.
That is show. Gold, hey, and your glove next year.
That's so – I Kyle Tucker, I think, said that. I'm like, that's the coolest part is that forever your glove can have the gold patch, right?
Yeah, so for people who don't know, Rawlings, when you win the gold glove – let me do something for the YouTubers.
He's got to have a glove nearby.
This is an incentive to watch on YouTube as well.
Yes.
Okay. So for all the people who are watching on the YouTube, you see the nice little Rawlings patch right here is red. Okay. If you win the gold glove, that becomes gold. And the whole thing is gold. And the only way you can have that on your glove is if you've won a gold glove. No one else is allowed to have it. And that's the coolest thing. So if you ever see a guy on the field do one of these, It's because they have the gold. And Stroman will do it. Some other guys have done it. Jay Hay will do it for other. He doesn't really do it for himself, but he'll do it for other guys when they make a play like that.
It's the best. Like if you hear mic'd up, going back to the mic'd up, and someone makes a nice play, and you're like, "That's why he's got gold." It's awesome.
This is the sickest. And like, yeah, whenever Jay Hay or like Riz would make a sick play, I would always be like, "You know, but Jay's got."
He's got platinum on his
four or five. Well,
you can get a platinum color one.
That's right. Yeah. Is there Riz's a platinum patch too?
Oh yeah,
yeah. Riz is platinum.
That's so sick.
So like, guys got gold or like, that's five times gold.
The best is or like they'll be like, that's why that glove's a little bit heavier.
So I'm very excited. I actually, Rawlings is sending me my gloves for next year. They'll probably come December or January, and it's like, can we get those patches put on there? Put on the new ones.
Might as well put it on my jersey too, where the C would be.
Yeah, right here. I mean, that's
let everybody
that's
know.
That's the coolest thing ever. And then the trophy is really, really cool. I said this, but that's like, besides the old commissioner's trophy, the World Series trophy, like that's the coolest trophy in baseball. So
Ian, another just quick thing. How I don't know. I thought I read something. How you kind of always thought about winning a gold glove, but like when I, you know, play with you and then kind of coming up, I just thought, you know, you're a first rounder who banged, and that was kind of like your way to get through the minor leagues, right? I mean, you could play multiple positions, but like when were you, I don't know, how, like not expecting, or when did that even come like a rational thought? Like, hey, you know, I might want to win a gold glove.
You know,
because like, you try, because not saying you tried to play in football, you played infield for a little bit too. And then you kind of just solidified yourself in left and center.
Well, you know, like when you're a kid and you're playing shortstop and you're the best player, like it's all you dream. Like, you know, I took a lot of pride in defense at coming up, growing up, and like played shortstop my whole life. And like took a lot of pride in that. You know, I was not as good as I thought I was, I'm sure. But like, I really, you know, I took a lot of pride in that defensive work and like feeling like I could play that in college and play that at the next level. And, you know, I get to college and play infield my first year. I played, kind of bounced around to get in the lineup. And then I played mostly second my freshman year in college. Then I went to the Cape, same thing. Like it was a freshman on the Cape, and like there's dudes, showcase dudes who have to play short and second. So I end up like bouncing around, playing outfield, playing first. And a new college coach comes in and moves me to the outfield. So like, I didn't have a chance to, like I always thought that I could do it in the infield, didn't have a chance. Then I get drafted, go play infield, try to learn how to play second base. Same thing, get to the big leagues, and like, yeah, we got like 8 second basemen who are really good, and then bounce around, and that's how you get in the lineup. And like, when you don't have a position, let me tell you, when you don't have a position that you're playing every day, really hard to win the gold glove in that spot. So, and like hard to get good or to like really feel like you could master it. And I always felt like, it's just, you know, you have the confidence in yourself, but I always felt like if I had a chance to lock down one spot, wasn't going to be shortstop in the big leagues, but like if I had a chance to lock down one spot, wherever that was, like, and really put all of my effort into it, I was going to be an above average defender. Not like, sure, hey man, there's a lot of really good athletes in the big leagues, but like, I'm a good athlete, not a below average defender. Yeah, like if you give me one spot, I can be above average. And then, you know, as we're going through this year, and I always felt like try to play center field for as long as I can. But then like, hey, if I'm going to play left field every day, if that's what it's going to be, yeah, I'm going to find a way to make myself the best I possibly can be at that position. It's the first time probably since high school that I've been able to focus on one spot and run out to one spot every single day and feel like I could learn that, be completely and totally entrenched in like what it takes to dominate that position. And you know, to be able to do that for 158 games and go out there every single day to one spot. Like I really think that that's what I always believed I could do. And it, to have that like all come full circle and to get some of that like recognition for it is, it's a cool feeling.
It is really cool. And, you know, to hear, for me, obviously both of you guys both know that I love infield. I love defense, and kind of hearing people talk about how they take so much pride in defense is awesome, because like nobody talks about defense unless they have to, whether it's a really good play or it's a shitty play in a big situation. That's kind of like, you know, you'll get the occasional, yeah, Ian Happ's doing great out there, but there's no like, yeah, the defensive run saved, whatever. But like, I think to the regular baseball fan, it's not really talked about and explained well enough, in my opinion. So to like hear that, you know, there are so many guys out there who, you know, say that they take pride in defense is like, I think that's really cool because not many people, like I said, talk about it or wouldn't want to say care about it. But like, everyone's like, oh yeah, this guy hit, you know, 62 homers this year. But like, Aaron Judge is probably one of the better right fielders in all of baseball too.
Yeah.
And that's just, that's not even talked about.
I'm not the type of guy that like goes out when something like this happens and is like, for all the people, but like I took, right. You know, you work really hard on your craft. And like, I took a lot of pride in defense and like when stuff would come out or even like within, you know, people in the organization or scouts or whatever, you know, that said, you know, there's no position or below average defender or, you know, struck. It's like, well, shit, you go play seven positions in the big leagues. Like I've played seven.
Yeah.
And I played five regularly, six when I would fill in at first, like go play five positions in the big leagues, cover two infield positions and three outfield positions. Like
your mind is spinning.
Who does that above average? Yeah. And that was the one thing that I would always feel like slighted on is like, I can do this at a high level if I'm given the opportunity. And, you know, now you get, once that's Gold Gloves attached to your name, that, you know, some of those doubts go away, which is nice. Like shit, 100%. I was always like, God damn.
It is so hard to play more than one. Like your mind is spinning on defense regardless, especially in the big leagues. Just again, you know, but like the game is so fast. Like, I don't care what you say. The difference between a triple A game, just like your mental aspect, like your heart rate, you know, it feels like you have to be in the absolute perfect spot every play. You're not going to be trusted out there. So it's like for you to, you know, explain how, you know, you're not comfortable at one position. It's like, hey, Ian, go play third. You haven't played there in 2 years. And by the way, it's the bottom of the ninth, no doubles. And this guy might bunt, but you have to be back, but you also have to be in to take away a double. Go get him.
Yeah, dude.
And you're the cutoff man. And make sure you hear if Contreras wants the ball cut off or not.
Dude, 2018 KB goes down. I haven't played third base really in my life. Like, I played it, but like consistently, never. KB goes down. There's at bats at third. Guess who's playing third? Your boy, Eugenio Suarez. Eugenio Suarez is just hitting rockets to me at third base. I'm like, God, like, I've never been over here. I don't even know where I'm standing. I'm literally, my head is in the dugout because our infield coach is moving me every play into position. And then, like, you're trying to be like competent out there and help the team and be serviceable. And it's like, dude, you know how hard it is to play three infield positions. To cover third, short, and second, and all the nuances of those three is hard, let alone bouncing in and out in game. You know, go play six innings at third, and then when it's time to flip around, you're going to go play left, and then we're going to do all stuff. And it's like, all right, and then you're going to do it tomorrow. It's like,
you said it before, that doesn't even take into account, like, the wind in Wrigley. Like, you can't practice that. Like, you can't practice for like, oh, there's a swirling wind. Like, ah.
And you guys, 18, are fighting for a wild card spot. So basically every game matters. Obviously every game matters in general, but like it's just more of a spotlight like that. Like, people don't think about that shit.
Yeah. I think it's hard to like, to describe to people like how hard it is to practice like what you actually see in the game. Like, coach can hit you fungos. You can work on choppers. You can work on this stuff, but the actual like simulating game reps, like simulating the top spin from a third baseman, simulating the one hop rocket into your chest that you have to like drop step on, that's time, that's experience, that's years and years of getting comfortable with different types of ground balls and where you are and like then making the throw, like all that stuff comes into account. And the reason why the dudes that are the best in the world are the best in the world, it's because Nolan Arenado's been playing third base for 15, 20 years. Like, this dude is so good at it because he does it every single day.
It's so low-key, like what you said about having game-like reps. Like, no matter what, somebody hits a fungo, not even close. And it shows because every day, like, infielding coaches and players are always talking like, hey, how can we make this more realistic or game-like? Like, we've tried like five different ways to hit a fungo, like whether it's side flip, a flip right ahead of you, lobbing it in, throwing it a little bit firmer, just so you could make it as game-like as possible. and it's still not even close to being game like. And then you have that's your only time to practice, basically.
Yeah.
I feel like that's the same as in the outfield too. Like it's tough to like bounces off walls in different stadiums you play in. Like, is it a padded wall? Is it the ivy? Like, it's tough to practice how it's gonna come off of that. Yeah.
And so, go shag BP when dudes are hitting rockets and hitting homers, and it's like, okay, yeah, guess what? When a guy takes a full swing and gets it off the end and make
and
that
you
read,
sprint back.
Guess what read you don't get in BP? The full swing off the end read, or like the broken bat read.
And they're saying, why is Ian Happ in fucking left field? This is a joke. And you're just like, hey, asshole, you come and do it. Come and look. Yeah. Where are you breaking?
Yeah. I mean, it's really hard to play multiple positions, to do all that, to learn the game at all these spots. And then when you are that guy that floats around, you get, I've said this before, but you get judged at five positions. At first base, you get judged against Anthony Rizzo. At second base, you get judged against, you know, Javi Baez and Tommy Edman. At third base, you get judged against Nolan Arenado. In left field, you get judged against Alex Gordon. In center field, you get judged against like every single one of the best players who has played the position their entire life is the guy you get judged against. And like that, it's just, it's nuts. It's nuts.
One more thing about the Dakota's point about playing outfield, how it's the same thing. Like I bounced around a little bit and I was fine, serviceable. And then I played there in high school, but like whenever somebody asks, hey, can you go play the outfield? Like, yeah, sure. How hard can it be? But like nobody sees the early work that that outfielders do, like ground ball work, because of pressing through a ball that you have to throw somebody out on a do or die play, and like worrying about those little short hops where it's like, as an infielder, I know that like, yeah, I want to get a short hop or I want to get no hop. And it's like, I go out in the outfield, and I'm like, oh my God, I'm running full speed at this ball, trying to field it on the side of my body to try to throw somebody out. And like, it happened once in a game and it was just like, I was like, oh my God. And that's not even talking about the ball when it snakes. Like people don't know if the way the grass is cut against the grain, it'll literally shake back and forth like a snake.
Well, and another one, especially in minor league stadiums, is the lights. Like, like Zach Lawson and the lights when we played him. But that's what I mean. Yeah. Like, people don't realize they're like, how do you lose it in the lights? Like, you come try to see it. Like, good luck. Yeah. It disappears. Yeah, it's just, it's crazy.
This has been a great defensive discussion. We could talk all day about it, and I could scream at the clouds about it. Let me tell you, I could scream.
No, you can't. You got gold.
I got gold. We need to talk about the World Series. Dakota, I think, is the first one that wants to yell at the clouds. Dakota, do you want to yell?
I don't want to yell at the clouds. I didn't like, and I get Alvarado is like their guy. He's like their shutdown guy. I didn't like him coming in to face Alvarez. I think that was the last game, wasn't it? He gave up the homer, the nuke the center.
Yes.
I don't know like the stats on this, but like how many times did Alvarez see him over the course of the series? I probably every single game. Also, an insane stat is how good Alvarez hits against lefties. He has a better average against lefties and still has like a 950 OPS or 900, something like that.
I just
didn't like it because he's seen him so many times. It was one of those things.
I know that it's the when you're in the playoffs and like especially when it's sudden like you're down to if you lose you're done. Like the idea of sticking to like, hey, starter got us through five or six. He's on short or rest, and that wasn't like short, but shorter. And you know, as soon as he gets in trouble, like we got to go to the bullpen. And he had 70 pitches. He's your best guy.
It was Nola, right?
No, it was Wheeler.
Oh, yeah, it was Wheeler. Sorry.
And I just like, man, I know it's really tough. I know it's really tough to stick with that guy. And like hindsight, it's so easy. Like
if he strikes him out, great.
If that dude comes in and punches a couple tickets and they get out of the inning, it's different. But like, man, I would have liked to see him keep going. And like what that does for you, if you can get through and he has less bullpen to use and then they get to the next day, they can have more fresh arms. It's just, it's tough. It's so tough. I don't want to manage in the big leagues. That would be so hard.
Yeah. And I get it. Like, it's like, hey, this is a huge spot in the game. Who's our best arm? It's Alvarado. Let's go to him. And I understand that, but it's just, I'm with you. I would have liked to see Wheeler like, yeah, he's on short rest, whatever. and I don't know Zach Wheeler, but I imagine that he's like, I don't care. I will throw 120 pitches.
He said, like, he said it caught him off guard. He was like,
that's what I mean. Yeah, like obviously. Brandon Morrow threw in every single game in the World Series when you're like those guys, like at least that's how I'd be personally. It'd be like, I would love to be out there unless my arm is hanging by a thread. I'd be like, let's like, what am I saving myself for? Like if something happens, it happens. That's just baseball. But it, I mean, it's also Ian, you said hindsight 2020, if Alvarado comes in and strikes out the next three guys, it's like, oh, what a great decision. And I'm not questioning Rob Thompson at all because I get it. Bring your best arm. It just seemed to me like this is the same guy that's seen him so many times. Like he's got to have him by now because Jordan Alvarez is such a good hitter.
If I saw his pitch count closer to 100, if it was 90.
Yes.
It's 70, yeah. 70. So I'm just like, I have to interrupt this. I have to interrupt this talk because I have to talk about Manscaped. Okay. Because we're doing 20% off. We're doing free shipping with code compound. It's manscaped.com, 20% off, free shipping, code compound. You guys know about the performance package, the 4.0. Got the lawnmower trimmer. Who loves the lawnmower trimmer?
I do. I love it.
Me. You got the weed whacker for the ears and the nose hairs. You got all kinds of stuff. This package is, and the briefs. You guys got the briefs?
I do. Who Zach wears them all the time.
You wear the briefs? I wear them all the time.
The package, the 4.0 package is about as good as you can get. And the holidays are coming up. They're coming up. Maybe use this code. Maybe use 20% off free shipping code compound. Little gift. A little gift. Is there anything else?
That is a great gift.
That was going to say is actually a great gift. A really good gift.
I would actually recommend it. It's very convenient to have, especially like you said, the weed whacker. I've never cleaned out my nose hairs. It's a good decision. It helps.
That helps, especially it's cold up here.
You telling me you clean out your nose hairs all the time? Stop.
Weed whack.
You looked at
weed
me
whack.
Like I was crazy. Like,
come on, weed whack. Your nose weed whack.
I'm gonna weed whack it. I would never use anything else.
Nope. Never. Do you guys want to talk about anything else from the series? Do you want to talk about the Astros at all? I think you know, Astros are a really good baseball team. Good for them. I think the Phillies. Watching the Phillies run was unbelievable. The Astros were the best team in baseball all year. I mean.
They really were.
True. The Dodgers were really, really good.
The Astros were the most under the radar, to me at least. I didn't notice how good they were the whole year. Like, would they have 104 wins, something like
the
that?
The Yankees were just overshadowing them.
And the Yankees had less wins, obviously. But, like, the Yankees overshadowed them storyline-wise. But Jeremy Pena, I don't like the Astros. I'm not afraid to say it. I don't like the Astros. I feel like America doesn't like the Astros. That's just how it is now. That's a fact of life. That's how it goes. I don't like them. I was rooting for the Phillies. Because also, our friend Kyle Schwarber's on the Phillies. I was rooting for him. But Jeremy Pena is fun to watch play baseball. Zach has to love watching that guy play baseball.
It's crazy. Guy steps in for Correa, wins a gold glove, wins ALCS MVP.
World Series MVP.
MVP. Like, what? Like, you dream about.
In a tool. Like, he wasn't stuck down the eight hole. It's like, hey, we're putting this, bro, like, we want him at the plate.
It's funny, like you dream about as a kid, like, oh man, I want to, you know, like Ian said, I want to win a gold glove. And like this guy just attacked and knocked off three huge accomplishments in back to back weeks. And it's like, what the fuck? Where does that happen?
I wonder, this is a hot take. I wonder when he would have been in the big leagues if Correa wasn't.
I mean, so well, he's only what, 24 right now?
Like 24, 25. Like, I wonder if they held him back because Correa was there. They had Altuve, they had Bregman. Like, there's nowhere really where to go.
Don't you think he would have been traded at the deadline? If Correa signed back this year, I bet Pena gets like a deadline trade, like to get a big piece. Like, 100%.
Yeah. But I mean, awesome for him. What a playoff run and what a start to a career. He's a really exciting player. He put himself on the map. I think also like the most underrated thing, the Astros bullpen, just unbelievable. Oh,
I mean,
starting pitching was great.
It wasn't fair.
Pitching was there for him, but the bullpen was amazing. We talked about Presley last episode about his mix. I mean, he had 5-6 saves. Like he threw every day. He was lights out. Probably one of the most underrated closers in baseball.
100%.
And, you know, just
Ryan
really,
Abreu
really,
to me was a guy I saw he'd come in the game and I was like, I don't know why. I was like, they're not going to score like this guy.
He was like 11 innings with like 16 or 17 punchies with no runs. Like
He hasn't given up a run since October 5th. I think that was still a regular season. It was. He didn't give up a single run in the postseason.
What the fuck?
And that's he threw like
so. Eight, obviously, you guys. Players. I mean, so you know, everybody like what Dakota was saying.
Four total hits. Whole,
huh?
Four total hits the whole postseason. He gave up in like 12 innings. That's pretty good.
Is that good?
That's like, and that's real quick. Sorry, Zach.
To no, you're good.
Interject. That's another thing for a reliever. I feel like is very understated. Like if you're a reliever and it's a tight spot, one base runner, especially like say you're in Philadelphia, you get a base runner on and the crowd is nuts. You know what I mean? Like if you go 1-2-3, you don't let them get going. But if you walk the leadoff guy, or leadoff guy gets a single, all of a sudden like, oh, here's a rally. Like, here we go. Like he would just come in and be like, nah, you're not even touching first base.
Strike three, strike three, strike three.
Yeah. Sorry. Go ahead, Zach.
No. So obviously 2017 from like then on, like that talk was just like, oh, Astros are cheaters. Like, you know, whenever anybody talked about it and around baseball, we all knew like the Dodgers, the Astros can develop anybody. And it just goes to show. But like there was always kind of a little bit of skepticism, like, you know, that's the Astros. Yeah, they're really good. But like, what are they doing over there? But it's just like, again, they win this year. And it's like, what else can you say? They develop and they win.
That's exactly like, I agree with you. The whole narrative is they're cheaters. Like, what are they doing? But what they're doing is they develop the shit out of their pitchers. Position players too, but their pitchers especially are like, we saw it in the minors playing against Round Rock and all, like they have guys that I'm like, you'd be in 29 big league bullpens. Like, how are you still down here?
You said it, that guy, Hensley. Like, nope, we were texting our group message. Like,
I said,
nobody's heard about this guy. And you look at his stats and he's 300 this year in AAA. And it's just like, what the fuck? Where are these guys coming from?
That guy came up to the plate and I texted our group text. I said, maybe I don't watch a ton of baseball, but I said, I've never heard this name in my life. And he's playing in the World Series and I'm watching it, drinking a beer. I was like, that's not a knock on this guy. I just had never heard of him. And I was like, he's starting a World Series game. Who is this?
And I think it's an interesting kind of mix between the two teams. You have the Phillies who have gone out and acquired a lot of talent, put together a really, really good team. Obviously, all the big free agent signings. And, you know, you can see how that team in a tough division wins 85, 87 games, however many they won. And then it makes this great run because they have really, really good players. And like how that stood up in the playoffs, how the power plays in the playoffs. And it was super fun to watch. And then you have the Astros on the other side who have, you know, they have some big arms. I guess Verlander, I'm trying to think who else was acquired free agent.
McCullers came up with them. What's the other starter's name? The invisible guy?
Javier. He came up with them.
He came up with them.
But they've done, I mean, but the, you know, they've kind of grown everyone. It, but they've paid their guys. They paid Altuve. They paid Bregman. They paid Jordan.
Did they already pay him?
Yeah, this year.
What's his deal?
Like eight for 100 and something.
Oh, that had to have pissed Ian off so much. I mean, that's a guy that needs to hold out. He's getting here. Take my wallet. Like Brian Cashman says, take the checkbook, write a number you want. Steve Cohen says, here's my checkbook, write a number.
Six for 115. He's very young.
He's worth a billion.
He's basically going to hit fucking free agency twice.
But I mean, he's worth $40 million a year right now. He's the best left-handed hitter in baseball right now. Prove me wrong. Maybe Shohei, but
back
it's close.
To the defense. Back to the defense. He's playing half the game.
But he plays in the AL.
Everybody has the DH.
Everybody
now.
Has a DH.
That's true. Dumb. Oof.
Six for 115, and then he's a free agent again at 32 in 2029.
Ian, give me what you think he should get per year right now. After this season he just had, say he's a free agent tomorrow. Or today, what should he get per year? Give me a contract.
I mean, if he was a free agent at 26,
well, when is he supposed to be one? In 2 years, 1 year before this deal, he's been up a while.
This was pre-ARB. I think he would have been a free agent at 29.
Same as Judge, like 29. Yeah,
I think he would have been a free agent at 29. You know, if he keeps up this production and he's a free agent at 29, then you're looking at, you know, same some kind of six for. 150 now, 200 some type of thing. I mean, his numbers are insane. It's like, what are you willing to pay for a DH? Can he actually play left field? How's his body hold up? All that stuff. I think he's had some knee issues. Yeah, but the other thing, the other part about this is like, he would have made, like, through ARB, he would have made crazy. Like, he would have made, he would have been one of those guys that makes 40, 60 million bucks through ARB. So, like, I don't know. But I don't hate the deal for him because he gives himself that security. He can go back out to the market and he likes playing there and he's comfortable and all those things. So,
but isn't he one of those guys, like, when you reach time for a, well, I guess no, because he's younger than you, right? But isn't that how it works? Like, for guys that are free agents, they look to other guys' deals and be like,
yes,
I'm worth this because he got this, basically.
Yeah.
That's why, like, the players are happy for each other or happy for guys, but they're also like, hey, come on. Like,
wait a little bit and help us out.
Yeah. Yeah, right. I mean, that he could have pushed, he could have pushed the arbitration markets forward, and like, guys that get taken out of the arbitration system, then you don't have comps to use as like, hey, you went through
kind of hard. It's hard as a player to say, yeah, I'm gonna wait till one, like, one or two more years, and it's like, you don't know what the fucking happened.
And who's his comp too? Like, you know, who's going to ARB and being like, yeah, you're the same as Jordan Alvarez? Like, I mean, like, there's many.
I mean, yeah, but there's dudes like the Harper, yes. You know, Harper went through ARB and like
Chris Jordan Bryant would be trying to comp himself.
Yeah, you know, Jordan would be trying to comp himself to Harper or some of those guys, you know, Machado or Soto or all those guys that went through. Like, those guys use each other to push the top of the market forward. And so it's a, but he's a great hitter. And, you know, so let's talk about free agency. Let's get into free agency. I don't know if you guys know this, but this year's free agency is brought to you by Muggsy.
I did know that. Somebody told me.
Somebody told you that? Muggsy November sale. Biggest sale of the year. A lot of people are doing this. All right, we're going early access Black Friday sale, November 1st. So it's already started a week ago. Entire site 30% off. All your favorites, free shipping, free returns. 30% off. This is pre early access Black Friday sale for the best jeans on the planet. You know that I love Muggsy jeans. You don't even need a code. This is like one of those things where usually I'd be like, go use our code. You don't need a code. You just need to go on there. Okay. You just need to go and you need to take advantage of the early Black Friday sale at Muggsy.com. Dakota's going to go get himself 7 pairs. Let's talk about free agency, brought to you by Muggsy. I have something to say about free agency first, before we get into like who's a free agent. So Trey Turner just dropped this. I guess it got leaked, where, I think it was John Hamm did a voiceover for a Trey Turner like pump up video. It was like a 2-minute pump up video, and his agency sent it to all the teams, and somehow it got leaked out and is on the social media now. It's actually, it'll make you want to sign Trey Turner. It's great. But I saw this video, I'm reading an article, and they're like, yeah, you know, he's great. They made a comment about his power, his shortstop power. And they're like, the article was like, yeah, but his ISO is down this year. And that's like a concerning long-term trend. Okay. So ISO, for everyone out there, it's measures power, raw power, because it only accounts for extra base hits. And so like, if you have a double, if you're 1 for 5 with the double, your ISO is 200. So you had 2 bases. It's basically like a total base metric, but it takes out all your singles. It's an interesting thing. It measures power. So it's like guys that hit more homers have better ISO than guys that hit doubles. I don't think it's the best stat ever, but some people like to use it to measure like power production.
So real quick, if you're like 2 for 4 with a triple and a single, you just get 300 then?
No. If you're 3 for 4.
No, 2 for 4.
2 for 4.
Single. 300. Because you get a triple when you said singles don't count.
I think
right?
It would, that would be 3 bases divided by 4. I think that would be 750.
Oh, it's divided by your number
of
bats.
Is that right? That feels like slug though.
I'm confused. That's
why someone explain ISO to me. I don't understand it.
Okay. Yeah.
Where's Tom? Where's
ISO
Tom when you need him? Tom,
power of a hitter
Tom's quiet today.
Zach's got it. Zach, go.
For example, a player who goes 1 for 5 with the double has an ISO of 200.
Yeah, but I needed like another example because I feel like that just.
So I guess if you were 1 for 5 with a triple, you'd be 300.
300, yeah.
Oh, so it's not like bases divided by at bats.
No, I don't think so.
It's basically just bases, not counting singles. I'm very confused.
This is the formula is hilarious. The formula is hilarious.
Let's hear the formula. We'll put it out there on the.
Nope. I'm putting the formula. Listen. I'm putting the formula into the chat, and someone can try to figure that out.
I'll read it for you. One times double plus two times triple plus three times home run divided by at bats or slugging percentage minus batting average.
All right. I actually kind of understand this, I think. So basically what they're saying is that there's a multiplier, right? So a double's worth only one, but then if you hit a triple, it's like six bases really. And you get three times multiplier on a home run. So it's worth like 12 bases, I guess. So it really emphasizes triples and home runs, it seems like, over doubles even.
So it's basically saying stretch all your doubles into triples and stop being okay with hitting doubles. Nobody cares about doubles anymore, which I think is ridiculous. What?
Who doesn't care about doubles?
This ISO doesn't care about doubles. ISO says I should stretch five of my doubles into triples this year, and I'd be a better player.
Nah. This is another made-up stat that they just said, you know what, we're going to decide this person's better because we made this algorithm.
This isn't even my point about ISO. Okay, we've gotten off track. My point is everybody's ISO was down this year because the balls were dead. And then they're saying, like, so you have a 130, 120, 130 runs created, weighted runs created, or OPS plus, which is measured against the league average. So you're 20 or 30% better than league average, you know? And then just because the ISO's down, which is a metric that does not compare to league average. So yeah, in 2017 or 2019, you would have had a higher ISO because the balls were hotter. And this year with the balls being dead, you have a lower ISO. People are like, it's a concerning trend. Yeah, the dead baseballs are a concerning trend, but ISO is not a concerning trend. I just got a little fired up about that. Okay, I'm sorry.
You still had a great year, man.
Hey, thanks, man. Oh, I know. But this was about Trey Turner, but thanks.
About that. But that's also kind of weird to have a free agency hype video. I'm just saying.
Hey, it's kind of a sick video, though. You should watch it.
I just saw it on
Twitter. The start of it looks awesome.
Yeah, it's sick. It's sick. There's music. John Hamm's talking. It's electric.
He's going to be a Cubby. That's my prediction.
We got some shortstops in the market. Everybody that was supposed to opt out, opted out. We still have some qualifying offers. We still have qualifying offers to happen, rejections or accepting of qualifying offers. And then things get real spicy next week when the free agency officially opens.
Well, and Edwin Diaz already agreed to terms on the record-breaking deal for a reliever.
Edwin Diaz is the first closer to make $20 million a year, and he's the more, and he's the first closer with a $100 million total contract.
And I'd say it's deserved.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. He's younger than I thought he was. I did not think he was 28 years old. I was like,
wow. No, I thought he was 32, I would have guessed. Yeah. Which still isn't old, but it's like, I would have been like, yeah, he's like low 30s.
Did not know he was 28. Good for him. I mean,
I feel like he's been playing for a while.
He's nasty. I think the Mets are obviously going to be pretty active in trying to re-sign the guys that they have and then going out and getting more guys. So this is a good start for them. They're going to have $300+ million payroll, but it's a really, really great contract. Do you guys have anything to say about the free agent market in general?
Well, I saw DeGrom opted out. Didn't you face him this year, Ian? What'd you do against Jacob DeGrom?
I'm interested to see what that looks like. That could be like a 3-for-150 type of thing. You know, I don't know.
He's like 34. Right?
Then you can use it in ARB and say, this guy just signed for the world and I'm going into ARB. I booked him. So like, where's my blank check?
So basically I should also get $50 million a year.
Correct.
I don't think DeGrom's that old. I don't think
he's 34.
He's 34, huh?
Turns 35 next year in June.
Wow. Whoa.
June 19, I'll be sure to wish him a happy birthday.
DeGrom and Kershaw, I believe, are the same age, which is pretty wild to think about because they obviously had different, very different careers. DeGrom's a late bloomer. Kershaw's the obvious early.
And DeGrom went to college.
True, as well.
To get more knowledge.
DeGrom got to the show and when he was 26. Interesting. I did not think he was that old. So now I'm freaked out because I thought Diaz was older and I thought DeGrom was younger. He's an interesting case because, you know, like someone's probably not going to give him the length, but somebody's probably willing to pay him $40 to $50 million just to pitch in the postseason.
Isn't that what Scherzer's kind of been doing? Like,
well, Scherzer signed a Well, no, he had the, he just came out of the big deal. He signed a big deal with the Nats, came out of the big deal, and but he's older. He's he was like 38, and yeah. he signed a three for
that's right.
3 for 1. It was $42,000.
I could see DeGrom getting, I could see a team saying, here's 5 for 175. Or do you think that's too low money wise? 25 a year? No.
That's too low.
27 and a half a year?
It's too low. He's not going to take anything under like 35.
But don't you think he'll get max of 3 years? Like, I don't think you can give him a 5 year 225 or 250 if that's the end. I'm not saying at 39 he won't still be good, but it's
somebody's risk. Between 2017 and 2019. Okay. He threw 200 innings for 3 straight years, 201, 217, 204. Nasty. Unbelievable. He made 12 starts in 2020, which was about season. That was about a full season.
That is a full season. 12 times 5, 60. It was 60 games.
Okay. And then the last 2 years, he threw 92 innings in 21 and 64 innings this year. Was he nasty? Yep. He had a 108 last year, and he had a 3 this year, but that was a couple starts at the end of the year where he got hit around. But, like,
when he's healthy, he's the best pitcher
in baseball. If you're bad, if you're down, you're struggling, oh, tough year, 308 ERA, like, it'll be all right. But
a lot of guys, if you told them before the season, most guys, not the top end guys, but I'd say 98% of pitchers, hey, like, we'll give you a 308 this year, you don't have to show up. Where do I sign? What color would you like?
Yeah. And so he, is someone willing to pay him that amount of money and believe that they're going to get that 150 to 200 innings? But moreover, like, if you have enough depth like the Mets had, you basically just want him healthy for the playoffs. I don't know. Interesting. I think he is one of, if not the best pitcher in the game with the best stuff. And it's just, what's that going to look like? It could be like, no doubt, the highest annual average value that we've seen.
I'm very curious, switching here, to see what the Cubbies do. See if they give our guy IHA an extension, possibly. Maybe they make some moves, some splashes, go get some good players. I don't know.
I think I I'm interested in more than just what the Cubbies are going to do, but on a general sense, because of what happened last year, and we had this lockout deadline. So there was a flurry of stuff that happened early, right? But before, it feels like there's a ton of hype for the free agent market right now. But what we've seen in the past is like free agency, and then like nothing happens for 3 months.
Yeah. It's like January.
A rumor here, a rumor there. Like,
you get like random one guy. Yeah.
Yeah. But like, it feels like when the free agency starts, you're just going to have like bang, bang, bang. That's not how it goes.
But that's how like NBA goes. It's like that first day. Yeah. It's like, this guy's signed, this guy, like everyone is signed. And I feel like this year I'm with you. Like this year it's going to be like, they've signed him, we've signed him. Like, it's going to be crazy.
It feels like things are going to pop early, but I don't know. I'm excited. I mean, I don't know. I've never been so excited for free agency. I'm like, ooh, who's going to do what?
Well, I feel like most of it gets done too at the winter meetings. Like, that's another big, like, not a ton will happen before that, just because that's a big time where deals just get worked out. And that's in what, like a month?
Yeah. This is the first time in a while that we've seen, hey, the CBA is set. Like, after 2019, like, obviously 2020 was a mess, 2021's a mess, budgets and everything and all this stuff. And now you have, and then the CBA last year being uncertain. Now you have like the CBA signed. We have 5 years if we know the rules. And like, what's it look like? I don't know, but I'm excited to find out.
Do you think,
brought to you by Moxie Jeans, what do you got?
Do you think guys or hitters will go up? Like, payment will go up with no shift, or do you think
I just think that the value, teams are never going to just pay guys more for fun, but I do think the value of some left-handed bats,
Schwarber,
he's locked up, but yes,
Rizzo.
Yeah. Like Riz, I think if you run the metrics on guys that are impacted by this, Riz is a top five guy that's impacted by the shift. And I think there's going to be teams that would have maybe not had such an emphasis on a lefty bat or been worried about the platoon might value that lefty bat a little bit more. I think when you're, you know, left on left is a tough thing, but it's probably easier for a left on left. I don't do this, but just sell out and hook a slider or hook something on the ground hard. And if there's more hits doing that, maybe it plays more. I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see the long-term impact of it, but I think every front office has run the model for what deals are out there for guys. And I think trades too, like there's going to be guys that it's like, hey, our model thinks that this guy's going to have more success at the big league level without the shift. If he's cheap right now, let's go grab him before the team that he has realizes they could benefit or see if that team values what we value. So I think that there's little things like that.
You get shifted, right? On the left side?
I get shifted once in a while. I mean, depending on the team, like I get shifted two guys on the right side or three guys on the right side. Sorry, quite a bit. But the guy going to the outfield or not kind of depends on the team and who's the rover guy.
And who's pitching probably is another factor.
Who's pitching. Yeah. And so, yeah, I'm excited. And for me, like right-handed for a while, I was getting three guys on the left side and I hit a lot of balls really hard in the ground right-handed.
Mm-hmm.
So, but like,
the new rules are you can still do that, right? Or does it have to be two on each side of the base?
Two and two.
Ugh, I don't like that. I think as long as you're on the dirt, you can go wherever you'd like. Oh, what is it? Oh, you can't plan for a possible bunt anymore either. You got to stay in your position. We're going to draw a circle. You have to stand right here. Good luck. Hopefully, they don't hit it at you. It's stupid. I hate it. I do. Don't tell me where I can and can't play my players.
Hey, man, they give you a circle that you have to stay on.
That's all I got on that. That's my yelling at the clouds is telling me where I can and cannot put players in the field if I'm a manager. I'm like, what do you mean? Like, what about the outfielders? They can't shift either. Like, you got to stay inside these lines. Like, can they shift?
You can't do a four-man outfield.
That ugh, stupid. I hate it. I don't like it. Just wait until they bring in robo umps and this podcast will take off because I'll be in jail for my comments.
Well, let's talk about umps for a second. We need to talk more about umps. We need to have an umpire section every week because we talked about Pat Hoberg and his perfect game. And
someone doesn't like him. Shouldn't say that.
Who?
Remember the text I sent you?
I don't think he was behind the dish. He was second.
No. So he umped a game this year against you guys.
Jared Young
was up in the big leagues and he got punched out on a backdoor slider from Daniel Bard. And Jared texted me and sent me the picture of the pitch and said, you guys say this guy's the GOAT. And it was two balls off the plate. And Jared's like, I mean, it's a slider. It was never a strike. He's like, I couldn't believe it when he called it. He's like, but I couldn't say a word because I'm a rookie.
It's amazing. It's amazing how guys remember that specific pitch. But we spend this time talking about him. And the video goes up. John Boy puts the video up on all the channels and stuff, and it blows up. And all the things that we've talked about on this pod, all the videos and everything, the Pat Hoberg perfect game is just flying off the shelves.
It's just crazy. Like, I couldn't imagine going back there and not missing one in the World Series.
On the biggest stage. He's an Iowa guy. Do you know that? Iowa guy.
Oh, nice. Nice.
Yeah.
Des Moines?
I wonder how he did at Principal Park with no batter's eye.
I don't think it does mind. Really excited for free agency. Really excited to see what happens. Before we do screen time, Tom, do you have any comments for us? You've been quiet all episode. I know you're having your tomato bisque. Is there anything you want to tell the people, Tom?
No, I was, I will say this, Zach's a big Duke fan. My father, huge North Carolina fan, has never been to a game at the Dean Dome, going to his first game tonight. So,
that's sick.
Yeah, that'll be cool. So
that's really cool.
He's been a fan since 1965, never been to a game at the Dean Dome. In fact, we went twice in my life and both times it was closed, in fact, for renovations. So he's never even been inside. And that game tips off, I think, in 2 hours. They're playing, I think, UNC Greensboro or somebody.
2 hours are tipping off at 9 o'clock.
9 o'clock tip, baby.
Goodness.
Spartans tip off in 3 minutes. No big deal.
Yeah, Duke too. I want to go to a Duke UNC game. That would be awesome.
Zach, do you have a Duke sweatshirt I could borrow?
Zach, real quick. I'm going to switch topic for you. because I got beef with the other two.
Oh boy.
I just want to say thank you for being the only one to wish me a happy birthday yesterday.
You know, it's just
oh
sad.
My really. God. Oh my God.
Ian and Tom did not.
Oh my God. I am such a bad friend.
Hurts a little bit.
I'm sorry.
I think that's the definition of what that's a coworker, if it asks me.
Yeah, it's just oh, we just work together. We're not yep. like buddies.
I mean, I get it.
It is what it is.
All right. I'm gonna put that in my phone. November 6th is a birthday for Dakota. Tom, I'm not gonna say that I blame you for as the guy that does our research, not knowing that it was Dakota's birthday and texting
basically
me and saying,
just
hey.
Tom's the responsible one, so you'd expect that he would know that.
You know, if I could have some in my life that would know all of the people's birthdays that I need to say like happy, like I would.
Oh,
that would be
so
valuable.
Many I forget.
I am
so
the
many
worst birthday person, or like remembering events that people are doing, and like I'm just bad at it, and I apologize. I'm not a good friend. I win the worst friend of the year award brought to you by Parsley Rum, and I'm sorry.
Is that a better award than a gold glove?
No, it's the worst award you can win. Oh, okay. Friend okay. award, but it's okay. it has a good sponsor. So
it's okay. I forget because I forget what day your birthday was, but hopefully Zach remembers and he'll text in the group text. And then I'll remember. It's in September, I believe. July. September, August.
Let's do screen time. Let's do
middle of the year.
You're making me feel better because you have no idea what my birthday is.
I know Zach's is. I'm going to sound really dumb when this is wrong, but I want to say July 9th.
Nope, I'm close.
Fuck.
Dakota just kind of stopped talking 30 seconds.
I think I have a good number today, guys. I think I'm competitive.
I need to know Zach, so it's in my head. When's your birthday?
May 29th.
Fuck. That's close. I had a
You're
nine.
Pretty close, man.
I had a nine. Mm. 4:50 is my screen time, an hour 24 on TikTok.
5:11. I was looking up.
Let's go.
Jets videos.
Woo! Yeah. That's no, a W. Sure, I was sure. watching fucking Lions videos. Smell you, Packers.
Can I just make a comment that Dakota's supporting the team there with the John Boy sweatshirt? We appreciate that for the team. For the team, Tom, screen time.
Always. I'm supporting the team too.
Oh, 4 hours 58 minutes.
Oh, I just beat him. Tom,
3:20 for me.
Day.
3:20. I just wiped the floor with you guys. 3:20.
But Tom had a great. That's we can't let that go over. Under
Tom,
five?
That was you've had a great day, man.
Thanks, guys.
Happy like for that. You.
Happy belated birthday, Dakota.
Thank you.
Episode 135 brought to you by Parsley Rum. When I say Parsley, you say
rum.
Rum.
Parsley.
Rum.
Rum.
Rum. We'll see you next week. I just want to tell the fans who are probably have all turned the podcast off by now that my mission for this offseason, I'm going to state this now, and then you can all hold me accountable. My mission for this offseason, as it is now officially the baseball offseason, is to have more guests on the pod. So this offseason, my goal is that we will have more guests than we've ever had on this show. I have a list. I'm going to start texting people and setting it up. And that's my, it's not a promise, I'm not promising, but that's my mission.
My hope.
My mission for the Compound Podcast is that we have guests throughout the off season. And I'm putting it out.
Rum.
See you next week.
Ball in Play 2, presented by DraftKings, kicks off on May 5th. Head over to the Warehouse Games channel to catch Game 1. Get some skin in the game and download the DraftKings app right now. Don't forget to use our promo code WAREHOUSE. That's promo code WAREHOUSE only at DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.